It's time for the home stretch with Pat Daugherty, the region and the world of sports. Taking the issues head on and straight down the middle on the only place for Elkhart and Goshen sports talk, ESPN Radio 1027. Now, here's Pat Daugherty and the home stretch.
Here to the home stretch, ESPN Radio 1027. Coming up in 10 seconds, Buffalo coach Mike Lightfoot. Welcome back here to the home stretch, second hour of the show. A lot more to get to, including we're going to discuss the topic you just heard on that lead-in. Notre Dame considering joining the ACC as a football team full-time. They'd be part of the team, qualify for postseason championship games and whatnot. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But now we welcome back one of our good friends to the program, the former coach of the Bethel Pilots, Coach Mike Lightfoot, to the show. And Coach, first and foremost, how you doing?
I am doing great. I sure enjoy listening to you guys' show. It's always fun, especially on a drive home or whatever, to get connected not only with national but local sports, which is so important as well.
Appreciate that, Coach. Do you have any advice for the Chicago Cubs? I know you listen to them because we carry them here.
Yeah.
A lifelong friend. It's been a rough start to the year.
It sure has been a rough start to the year. You know, I just don't know. I think they're pressing a little bit. I think that's part of it. I think that you know, they're just going to have to kind of regroup here and get on a roll, but it just tells you how difficult it is to play at a high level, especially now that you have a target on your back. And I think for the first time, my observation is that they're feeling that a little bit. They're feeling that that pressure a little bit. I think that that's something that they're going to have to work through and hopefully get on track here for the rest of May and into June.
No, it is a long season, so they have a lot of time to that. But we didn't bring you on the show here today to talk about the Chicago Cubs. Last time you and I ran into each other, you had mentioned that you and your wife were going to be speaking on a topic that I think is very interesting and one we don't talk about enough, because when you say the word divorce, it has a negative kind of tag to it. People, obviously, it's kind of a failure between two people. And unfortunately, all too often in sports, is it kind of the norm? It's something that happens quite a bit because there's such an issue of time and the expectations that are put on a coach and the time away from the family. Something you and your wife have a great relationship. You've been a pillar in multiple communities on exactly what and how that looks from a coach and a coach's wife mentality. But talk a little bit about the conversation that you guys have had, your growth as a couple as well, because I'm sure over your long career it hasn't always been beautiful. There's always some of those times where you're tested a little bit.
Well, I think all the listeners can attest that the day you get married is a great day, but once you're married, you've got to go through a process of getting to know one another, and then the toughness of just the marriage is something that is very difficult at times with workload and kids and finances and all those things. And I think that Jackie and I have seen the wear and tear of that with a lot of professions, but probably one of the biggest professions that we've seen the wear and tear is in coaching. Coaching is very demanding at the high school and college level. Mm-hmm. The time commitment away from home is just absolutely amazing. And so what we've been trying to do and feel like we're called to do is try to help coaches maneuver through that, and then also help coaches' wives maneuver through that process of being away. How do you handle that? How do you deal with the, you know, lack of community support? What happens when your kids are hearing things being yelled out about your dad, or whatever those things are that could be disruptive to a marriage? Because coaching has about a 71% divorce rate.
Wow.
And that's just, it hurts me to even think that, but that's just the way it is. And so if we can help in that way of coaching coaches and helping them maneuver through that just terrible situation here in Elkhart County, St. Joe County, and really across the country, that's something that is a concern of ours.
How important is it surrounding yourself with like-minded coaches on your coaching staff, those type of things as well? And you mentioned communication. What are some of the things that you have used and have been successful for you and your wife in making sure that even on the good times and the bad times, I mean, the worst times after a loss, keeping those communication levels open? And as you mentioned too, your wife went to a lot of games. She was right there in the crowd. So I'm sure that on away games, there's not always being supportive fans around you.
You know, she tells a great story. She told this one at the Final Four, which I think resonated with so many wives in the stands. But she was sitting in the stands and was really close to the opposite fans. And you can imagine fans really forget about some issues that coaches deal with. And what they forget about, fans forget about, that the ears that hear those nasty remarks yelled down towards the field or the court is also heard by the coaches' wives and even their kids. And so when my sons were probably 5 and 8 years old, we were on the road in a hostile environment, and one individual was like two rows up from my wife and just letting me have it, just constantly, every time I stood up, anytime I said anything to a referee, just was all just in my face. And so finally, one of my sons said to Jackie, why is this guy saying so terrible things to my dad? And she said, you know what? That is a great question. Let's go up and ask him. So during halftime, she went up and says, here are my two sons. My coach is down there, the one you've been yelling at. And we would like to know, they would like to know, why you are yelling and saying vulgar things about my husband, because they are upset about it. And, of course, then he kind of backed off, and mm-hmm. I think he sat someplace else the second half. But, you know, as a coach and a coach's wife and those people, listeners out there, you know, in any profession, there's a lot of stress on marriages. And how you work through those things daily is very, very important. That communication is so important. So what we did as a married couple was that we vowed that we would do this thing together as a team, and we would use the gifts and talents we had as a team, husband and wife, to be able to deal with the stress and deal with the issues in time away that coaches and other people in professions have to deal with. So the advice that we are giving in many, many ways is just that you've got to work through it, but you've got to do it as a team. You've got to seek wise counsel from other people. And honestly, after we got done, there was a line of women waiting to talk to my wife about how they can work through this. Because if you just think about, as we look at all the coaching salaries of all these great Division I coaches, that's just the very tip of the iceberg. How about the coach that is at a sixth school in 6 years mm-hmm. and is making basically minimum wage, and he's got a wife and two little kids, and he's off on the road recruiting or helping at his high school, doing all those things. And she's trying to figure out where the home's going to be, where the doctor is, no basic circle of friends, and they're being jumped around from place to place. And if they're not connected with the same goal of working together as a team, that results in a divorce.
Well, and I think there's support of both partners' dreams as well. I've been on and off over the last 10 years. I've coached at the high school level, and my wife and I have great communication, but it wasn't always great. You try to figure that out as you grow together. And I think that's been one of the biggest things is people change, different things change, but the communication lines still have to be open. And I think it's important that what you said, because I see a lot of high school coaches in my profession rotate in and out. We have quite a few in Elkhart County that have made career changes this year because, and most of them are, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to be around my young kids. And there's never a fault in that aspect. I mean, obviously.
No, there isn't.
That's huge. But the parent that is yelling at the coach doesn't understand the late hours. When everybody goes home, the coaches don't always go home. There's, you know, stuff to clean up, locker rooms, different things to do. And that's fantastic. Todd, do you have a question?
I do, Coach Lightfoot. You know, and you listed a lot of things that I wanted to ask you about. You're talking about the long hours and the stress, and I thought the one you hit on that I really wanted to ask you about was, how long are we going to be in this one stop? Are we moving next month? Are we moving next year? You talked about a coach, 6 stops in 6 years. And then, of course, the stress on the brides, the wives, they have to feel like a single parent. If there was one thing that you and your wife talked about that was so important, if there was one sort of line item that might help coaches, or really anybody for that matter, to get through some of these stressful situations, because coaching isn't the only job where you have these sort of circumstances, what would it be? Would it be just communication?
Well, communication is really important in any situation, any relationship. If we've got to be able to make sure we're always on the same page as a married couple on what our goals and desires and passions. I find that most wives want a feeling of security. They want to know, you know, what's next. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes as men, we just go after the next kill and really don't think about, you know, the waves we're leaving behind. So I think the communication's important, but I think we try to make sure that they get on the same train. You know, they're not going in different directions. And they incorporate not only their spouse, but they incorporate their family into the work environment as best they can. And I think the key thing that we try to really sell and believe in ourselves is nothing's more important than our relationship and our marriage. And so if we always know that that's priority one, then that's going to help us get through some tough times. That, you know, I think that we have to call. We were just recently at the Chick-fil-A headquarters and had some insight on what you need to do. And I think a great tip that I got at that is kind of a basketball-related tip. As many times as we deal with communication and sometimes as spouses, and we don't agree. But sometimes we need to call a timeout. Maybe it's a 30-second timeout. Maybe it's a full timeout. Maybe we have to kind of walk away and separate our thoughts and really gather our thoughts with one condition, that after that timeout, we're going to meet again. It's not like this is a timeout and we're not going to continue this conversation. But I don't know about you guys, but sometimes during a talk, which leads to an argument, some things could be said that don't need to be said and shouldn't have been said because our emotions get involved in it and our defense mechanisms grow and then all of a sudden issues happen. So if we can call a timeout and step away from ourselves a little bit and rethink that, you know, many times arguments between husband and wife really don't even need a resolution. They just need to be able to listen. And in my opinion, men are horrible at doing that. We're not very good listeners. And so what happens is that when our wives start to tell us something, first of all, we have a TV in our hand. You know, we're pushing the remote. We're trying to catch up on the paper and all those things at the same time. But we need to make sure we stop and focus and listen to what she has to say and then not just say, here, we can fix this. I can fix this. We always want to fix these issues where we need to be a better listener. And we need to be better listeners than everything. You know, that's why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We need to listen better. And I think if we can listen better, then we can communicate better. I like the idea of calling timeouts. You know, we get a few of them in a game, but I think in life, under the understanding, we need to step back, but then we have to have an agreement that, okay, we're going to meet again in an hour and finish this discussion rather than let it escalate and blow up. And I don't know about you, in 39 years of marriage, sometimes we even forget what started the argument. It's usually something really piddly.
Right.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
And it escalated to something else. So I would recommend calling timeouts out there and allowing things to cool down before you try to come to some resolution.
Well, I think the other part, and you kind of mentioned this, but I want to hammer this home, is asking for help and reaching out to other couples and other friends or mentors and having the conversation. I sometimes feel like asking for help is still a negative. People don't, I don't need help, and I don't need somebody to tell me how to live my life or how to be a better husband. And it's just like anything else. We work and we train, especially in the sports field, to get better at our profession. Well, I mean, you need to work and get, you know, train and get better at being a great communicator, as you mentioned, and those type of things. So I would encourage people to go out, ask, find mentors. I talk to my coaching friends all the time, and it's funny that a lot of our conversation falls back to our family and how to handle some of those situations. And I think that's a big point. If we can grow together as a community to where we can take that negative tag away from that and have that be a positive, I think we would see the divorce rate across all professions drop, and it would be a positive thing.
I think that many times is there's drivers, and there's probably a lot of men that are on the road right now. And I want to think about how they pursued their spouse, how they're dating, and how they did a lot of things, dropping off flowers and candy and you know, had date nights, and you couldn't wait till the next date night.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, as men, when we get into the grind of our lives, that we have forgotten to have date nights with our wife, making sure that that's the priority, that they know that we are, that they are the priority, and taking that time to get away. You know, when is the last time, you know, with kids and things and sports and everybody's running circles, just to get away and spend time with one another? You change your oil in your car and you don't think anything about it. Well, I think sometimes we need to do the same thing in our marriages. We need to kind of like, okay, let's sharpen up our marriages and improve that and be intentional about our communication.
Well, I love that you said that, because this Saturday I am going to be doing just that. I'll be heading down to the Indy 500 qualifier with just me and my wife, and she just dropped by the studio, and she was like, a whole day with just us?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know how to how to prepare for that. She goes, you're not going to get sick of me, are you? I'm like, no, we're going to be driving down 31 South, cranking some 90s, maybe some Britney Spears and some NSYNC, and just having a good old time together.
And, you know, I think that's so important. So that's, you know, as we're looking at, as we transition, you know, what we want to do as a couple, I think so many people, die at 50, but not buried till they're 80, because they're not doing anything after they get a certain age. Mm-hmm. We want to really invest in that. Becky and I have just felt calling to reinvest in coaching coaches. How do you do that? How do you coach coaches so they don't fall into the same traps of the culture? And let's face it, if a marriage isn't working well and there's a lot of dysfunction there, probably the coach or whatever occupation a person's in, that's not going really well either.
No.
And so if you can have, you know, if you look at the Fortune 500 people that run those companies, most of them have not had four or five marriages. Most of them have one marriage and have done extremely well. And I think that that's the message we want to send out there to the community, that, you know what, we need to coach up coaches and coach up people that understand that this marriage is a special thing, and also it's a very demanding thing. And in some occupations, it's more demanding than others.
Once again, Coach Mike Lightfoot joining us here on the home stretch on ESPN Radio 102.7. Coach, always a pleasure to talk to you. Anytime you have one of these topics or you have a new avenue, please reach out, because we love having you on the show. And I this one, I mean, hit home, because I've been in some of those early years. I started coaching when I was 21, and I'll tell you what, those first couple of years were awful with trying to balance a relationship, and it was because we didn't have communication. And now I'm able to do this, and I coach a youth team, and it's all based on communication and making sure that we're all on the same page from the outset to the very end as well. So I appreciate you coming on today. Tell Jackie I said hi as well.
I certainly will.
And it may even be great if she could come on at some point and kind of talk to the female.
Now, you're talking, because she's got the insight. She's the A player in this marriage. So, you know, she did the great job of raising my two sons, and You know, so yeah, she needs to come, you know, be on there. And if it'd be a call-in show, look out, you get a lot of ladies calling you.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, we will definitely book that up. Thanks again, Coach, for taking some time.
All righty. Okay, thank you.
Once again, Coach Mike Lightfoot, the Hall of Famer, the former Bethel men's basketball coach. His son has taken over the program, and honestly, the epitome of if you decide to put together a person who's going to be a fantastic coach, person, husband, father. I know I'm putting him on a pedestal here, but if you've been around him for 5 minutes, you understand he's a genuine person, and the way that he talks about things like that and is open about making mistakes and moving forward. And now I feel like after the coaching aspect, you could hear it. He kept mentioning about coaching couples, coaching coaches.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's not done coaching. It's just instead of coaching guys on a court, he's coaching men in life, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, just real quick, Pat, I know we got to get to break, but yeah, some of the points he made, it's interesting to hear Coach Lightfoot talk as a coach about how you have to treat marriage and relationships. And he's right. You know, you do have to know your situation, know everything that's going on, get the feedback from everybody around you to make your decisions and make them right. You know, it's the casino workers and the restaurant workers and the sports people. These are the occupations with the high divorce rates, because those are the ones with the hours that are all over the place, the late hours, you're away during some of those critical times. Mm-hmm. It's not 9 to 5, and certainly that's what makes, you know, having a marriage survive in any of those occupations difficult.
Well, I'm going to ask for our listeners to do something here for me, because one of the guys that I think breaks this down from a great standpoint as well, and talk about marriage, because it's not just sports. It isn't. I think salesmen who are gone, I know I have friends who are salesmen in the RV industry. They're gone all but 2 days out of a week. And when they're home, they're not home because they're exhausted. How about any of our men and women in service? And that's to flip the script, because it's not just men being gone. It's women being gone as well. Overseas serving. They're gone for 6 months more sometimes. And it's all about communication, in my opinion. But Eric Thomas is going to be here on Friday. And Todd knows this. Anybody who knows me knows this. I'm a huge Eric Thomas fan. I met him a couple of years ago up in Michigan State. I want to have him on the show. I'm gonna start bombarding him with tweets, because all I want is 5 minutes. 5 minutes of who I deem the most passionate motivational speaker out there and cutting edge. He comes out with stuff every week. It's all new. He relates it to sports a lot of times, because he's flown all over the country to talk to sports teams. But I want ET on this show. And obviously we can't pay him. We don't have enough money to pay him what he's worth. He will be here Friday at Lead USA over in South Bend. I will be there. I'm excited, but I want to give our listeners an opportunity to hear even 5 minutes with Eric Thomas. He's fantastic. If you don't know anything about him, go see it. He's on YouTube. He's all over the place. You can find his stuff on iTunes, Spotify, you name it.
The Home Stretch with Pat Doherty. ESPN Radio 102.7.